I went to church one day to hear the preacher pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since he saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
By his blood I'm
by
whole.
His blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. And now my hopes are bright. I praise him day and night. How he could change me so I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since he saved my soul.
It's different
yes,
now.
It's different
since
now.
By his blood I'm
by
whole.
By his blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. So different now.
Amen. Amen.
I kind of like having these guys, you know, they're so awed at me when I sing, and they're, you know, it's great. Amen. I'm trying to train them, trying to teach them, you know, but Darren's going to kill me.
Well,
I have a home beyond the river. Yeah. Or, you know, if you're from Louisiana, I have a home beyond the river. Amen? Oh, a home beyond the bayou.
Oh, the blessed contemplation where with trouble here I sigh. I've a home beyond the river that I'll enter by and by.
I've a home beyond the river.
I've a mansion bright and fair.
I've a home, a happy home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there.
Oh, how sweet will be to meet them, all the ransomed host above. Sweeter still to see our Savior. Praise him for redeeming love.
And though the world is filled with sorrow, and the teardrops often fall, there will be but joy and gladness safe inside the jasper wall.
Then the whales are rough and stony, and the valley dark and cold. I must walk the path before me. It will someday turn to gold.
I've a home
beyond the river. I've a mansion bright and fair.
I've a home
beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. I will dwell with Jesus there.
We're looking forward to, God willing, making a new CD towards the summertime this next year. And if you'll go out and buy a bunch of CDs, we can get that done a little bit better. And, you know, tip us or whatever you want to do. Yeah. But we're so thankful to get to do this together. As Pastor Smith said, we're all three pastors. And we get together once in a while when somebody is slumming enough to call us and come and sing. And so we're just grateful to be here and thank the Lord so much for the opportunity.
This song came, we put this song in our CD and kind of has become a blessing and a tremendous, just God's used it in our life. It's a song that means a lot to us, born out of some great suffering. And the Lord has used it in our lives over the years. Eric's son, Eric John, a preacher boy, a young man of God, was called home to be with the Lord at the age of 18 years old. And well, I'll tell you what, we wondered what in the world God was doing. You know, we go through a lot of things, don't we? A lot of old sorrows in this old life, yeah. But heaven one day is going to be worth it all.
I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Heaven will surely
Let me remind you that if you'd like a CD or a DVD of any of the messages that have been preached, or all of them, they will be available to you. We have envelopes we'd like to give you. If you have not already received one, you can buy one CD or the whole set or two or three or whatever. All the CDs are $4 each. All the DVDs are $7 each. All 17 CDs are $62 total, and all 17 DVDs are $105 total. Works very simply. Fill out the envelope, put the money in it, and turn it in the offering plate. Seal it, turn it in the offering plate. And at the end of the conference, we'll take the masters and we'll have them professionally done, and then we'll ship them to you. The cost of shipping is included in the price of the CD. Now, don't fill it out and turn it in and hope you'll get them COD. I've been preaching for 45 years. You think I'm that dumb? We still have people owe for Christian school bills. And, we'd like for you to... Anyone like an envelope? Anybody got any money left? There will be some laying on one of the tables in the hospitality area, and in the foyer, and just pick one up and turn it in before the services are concluded. Thank you for the song, men. You know, most of the great songs that have stood the test of time have been born out of sorrow and heartache and tragedy. The fact is, most of the growth in our spiritual life has been learned and experienced in times of heartache and sorrow and valleys and difficulty. Most of the victories we enjoy don't come on the mountaintops. They come after we've been in that valley and been faithful there. It was a great day when I first met Dr. Clyde Gilman. What a dear man of God. What a preacher of the Bible. And I remember exactly where it was and when it was. And what a blessing to get to know Dr. Gilman. Bella Vista Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's been preaching for 42 years, and for 30 of those years, he's been pastor at Bella Vista Baptist in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Every Labor Day, he has a one-day Bible conference at his church. And I want you to know, it is a humdinger. You get there, and they get started, and he feeds you. And the preaching. He has planned preachers. He calls preachers from the floor. I don't know how it can get any bigger or better. Man, when I was there, people would wrestle for seats. Every seat was filled. Chairs were out. And it was wonderful. Good singing, good preaching, good spirit. And you get to know this man, you'll understand why. A Bible preacher with a heart for God. A humble man. Unlike most of us, he's not a boisterous man. He'll be content to sit over here and listen. But oh, when he stands up and opens the Word of God, you can tell that he's not been with the brethren, he's been with the Father. And Brother Gilman, we love you. He's been married for 49 years, has 4 children, and 2 of them work on his church staff. And that is both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing to have them working with you, but when something goes wrong, they need to realize he's still daddy, not just daddy, he's boss. And that's hard. That's hard. We love you, Brother Gilman. Come and preach.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Smith. This has been great, as it always is. When the Lord allowed me to meet Dr. Smith, he enriched my life and my ministry. And thank you, Dr. Smith, and thank you, Trinity Baptist Church, for what you do so often for others. And thank you for this conference, all the work. I have a one-day conference, and it about takes me out. And he has periodically a whole week conference. Thank you so much for letting me come. If you've been here since the beginning on Monday night, we've heard 9 messages. This will be number 10. We're halfway through. And we, all 9 messages have been a home run. Really has. I'm just hoping to get to first base. And maybe the only way I get there is not hit the ball, but just the pitcher throws 4 balls and maybe walks me and somehow gets me to first base with this message. Monday night it started out and those guys got up and hit home runs. And I said to myself, I'm not feeling well. Then yesterday morning, all those messages, and I said, I'm going to go tell Dr. Smith that I'm sick and I'm not going to be able to preach. because what great messages God has sent our way. I've gotten some help. I told the Thorpe brothers a while ago when they came up, I said, I need some help. And they helped me. They came to our Labor Day conference for the first time, and I invited them to come and sing, and I got to thinking, you know, these guys are all pastor, and I bet they can preach. And so I just had them all preach, and they can preach. Boy, they helped me on Labor Day. God bless you. Thank you. They're coming back next year. And I would like to invite you to our conference, but we don't have any room. I would really like for you to come, but I really, our folks, some of our folks sat out in the hall watching it on the by screen, by television. They sat in the lobbies, couldn't get in. I have a small auditorium, seats about 320, and we had 658. And God's blessed that conference. Thank you again, Dr. Smith, for allowing me to come. I asked him when I come up, he gave me this thing. I said, did you fix that where it won't come off? He said, I did. Because last year, he gave it to me, and I put it on, and I sat down over there, and it popped off. And I looked over at him, and I said, it came off. He said, it does that on fat people. And he told me a while ago, he said, I said, you fix this. He said, you know, I'll tell you what helped me, because he saw me struggling trying to get it on. He said, I lost about 40 pounds, and it really helped me to get it on easier. Amen. Well, thank you, thank you. Stand with me, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, dangers facing Fundamental Baptist. Dangers facing Fundamental Baptist. Verse number 5. The Lord writing a letter to the church, to the pastor, to the church. Verse number 5 of chapter 2. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. That's dangerous. And will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for helping me all these years. Thank you for this ministry, this church, Dr. Smith, Dr. Reed, thank you for the great music that you have given to this church to help us. Help me now to preach. Help me not to preach too long. Help me to say what you want me to say and how you want me to say it. Lord, I need your help. I pray you'd show up and anoint me and touch me. Help me to preach. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Dangers facing Fundamental Baptist. There are some who are facing dangers. The nation of Israel is facing some dangers. Our beloved nation, America, is facing some dangers. Dr. Gomez said yesterday that all the demons of hell have been loosed upon America. We are facing some dangers. The church is facing some dangers. The candlestick in these verses is the church. And God said to that local church, he said, there are some dangerous things, and if you don't watch out, and if you don't correct them, he said, I'll show up and take you out of business. I will remove your candlestick. The church, the family, the home is facing dangers. Our kids and our teenagers are facing dangers. Facing dangers I did not face when I was a teenager. Christians are facing dangers, and fundamental Baptists are facing some dangers. I'm worried about fundamental Baptists because they're not handling the dangers that they're facing. The dangers are overcoming many. Dangers facing fundamental Baptists. I want to show you here in chapter 2 very quickly, just point out seven dangerous things in chapter 2. Dangerous people, dangerous doctrines, dangerous steps, dangerous deeds, dangerous trials, dangerous places, dangerous lifestyles. Look at dangerous people, verse number 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Those are dangerous people. Look at verse number 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Dangerous people. Look at verse number 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. Dangerous people. And are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Dangerous people. Verse number 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Dangerous people. Verse number 20, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Dangerous people. Dangerous doctrines. Look at verse number 14. Three times in chapter 2 it mentions the word doctrine. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee. Now, let me stop right there. That's dangerous. When God says, I've got a few things against you, that's dangerous. I have a few things against thee, verse 14, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Dangerous doctrines. Look at verse 15. So hast there thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, dangerous doctrine. I look at verse number 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. Notice in verse number 4, dangerous steps. Verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Dangerous step. That's a dangerous step. Verse number 20, dangerous step. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Dangerous steps. Dangerous trials. Look at verse number 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Dangerous trials. So dangerous, some of them are, that they bring death. Look at the rest of the verse. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Dangerous trials. Dangerous places. Verse number 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. That's a dangerous place. Dangerous places. Dangerous lifestyles. Verse number 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and here it is, and which have not known the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan is a dangerous lifestyle. Dangerous people. Dangerous places. There are some dangerous people. And what makes some of them even more dangerous is that some of them are fundamental Baptist preachers. Dangerous. And what makes some places so dangerous is that some of them are fundamental Baptist colleges. that have become a dangerous place, led by dangerous people, dangers facing Fundamental Baptist. And don't fret, I'm not going to preach on those seven, I have another seven. Dangers facing Fundamental Baptist. The danger of Jesus no longer walking in our midst. Look at verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The danger of Jesus no longer walking in our midst. Yesterday when Dr. Cox preached, he said something, and I went back to him after. I said, tell me that story again. He said at his church, one service, he was sitting on the platform, and his assistant pastor was sitting by him, and you remember what he said? He leaned over to his assistant pastor and said, he's here. And the assistant said, I think so. He's here. The danger of Jesus no longer walking in our midst. Do you know how we got here? We got here by Jesus walking in our midst. Do you know where, through the history, where churches have gained a reputation? Because Jesus showed up and walked in their midst, and all of a sudden the reputation came because Jesus was walking in their midst. And then what happens? The Lord shows up and walks in their midst, and they gain a reputation, and folks all over the country are talking about that ministry, that church, and then all of a sudden something happens and grieves the Spirit of God, and Jesus doesn't show up any longer, and he's no longer walking in their midst, and then all they have left is a reputation. They're like the church at Sardis. Chapter 3, verse 1, where God said, you've got a name that thou livest, but he said, you're dead. The danger of the Lord Jesus no longer walking in our midst. When the Lord doesn't show up, you've heard this, his power is not manifest. Not going to be. When the Lord doesn't show up, the people of God are not moved. The danger of the Lord no longer walking in our midst. The danger, verse number 2, the danger of becoming comfortable around those that are evil. Now the Lord's bragging on them in verse number 2. He said, thou canst not bear them which are evil. Now wait a minute. Anytime the Lord's bragging on something, it's a danger to lose it. And he said, you cannot bear them which are evil, but the danger is for us to all of a sudden or slowly become comfortable around those that are evil. Becoming comfortable around the Balaamites. Becoming comfortable around worldly preachers. Becoming comfortable around carnal, worldly preachers. Becoming comfortable listening to their off-color jokes. Becoming comfortable. There's a danger. There's a danger of becoming comfortable with the Balaamites. There's a danger of becoming comfortable with Jezebel teaching. He said, you suffer. You allow Jezebel to teach. And we become comfortable with Jezebel teaching. At our church, and all these 42 and a half years I've been pastoring, I've had some requirements for teachers. Some qualifications, some requirements, and sometimes folks come and say, where do you get all of that? I said, it's right there in the book. The Bible said it is required in stewards. It is required that a steward be found faithful. A steward, Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, anybody. something that over any ministry, Stuart. Anyway, I have some requirements. I'm not comfortable with Jezebel teaching my kids. Comfortable. Before, if you're not careful, you'll become the danger of becoming comfortable around the evangelicals. Comfortable. You become comfortable around them. All of a sudden, you'll be using their methods and their versions, and you'll be. Wait a minute. You'll start dressing like they do. Comfortable. I get periodicals all the time, Brother Clark, in the mail, like you. We do advertising these conferences all over the country, and sometimes the pictures are there. I got where I check them out just to see if they have a tie on. No, I do. I count how many are dressed comfortable. I'm not comfortable being comfortable. Now, I go home, I get comfortable. I take my coat off, I sleep in a white shirt and tie. No, wait a minute. I'm not comfortable being comfortable. The danger of becoming comfortable. Number three, the danger of fainting. Look at verse number three. The danger of fainting in the midst of battle, and he's bragging on them, has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. God's bragging on them. Oh, he said, you're doing great. I mean, you've not fainted, but there's the danger of fainting. Oh, wait a minute. How many messages this week have already been about hang in there, don't faint, but determine not to faint? How many messages have been this week about don't stop, don't quit? There's a danger. There's so many of them out there. Some things are taking them out, adultery and other things, but sometimes just fainting. The danger of fainting. Last month, a preacher called me, a pastor, about 200 miles from where I pastor. He called me and said, "Preacher, could you give me 1 hour? I'm coming to town. Could you give me 1 hour? I said, "Sure." He said, "I'd like to meet at the restaurant," told me where, and I said, "I need 1 hour at least." I said, "Okay." Good man and doing a good job. Church growing. But we sat down and he said, "I'm thinking about quitting." He said, my wife and I, we can't take it anymore, all the trouble and the problems, and we're just about at our wits' end, and he said, "I'm thinking about quitting," and he talked to me for an hour. He's about to faint. Right on the verge, right on the edge of fainting. That's a danger. The danger of fainting in the midst of battle. Number four is the danger of losing and leaving. Verse number four. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left." That's a danger. You agree? The danger of leaving. Now, wait a minute. Before you ever leave, you're going to lose. Yeah. You lose first. And then when you lose some things, you'll leave. The danger of losing. And here, the Lord mentions what it is, your first love. Now, I've heard preachers through all these years take that text and that verse and tell us what the first love is. And it's sometimes different things. And it may not be just one. Could be a list of things you fell in love with at the first. But he does say you've left your first love. You've lost your love. And since you've lost your love, of course you leave your first love. Danger. Danger. I started to preach in 1963. I came from a hardened life, and my heart was hard. Both my parents were alcoholics. I grew up in that kind of a home, and And my heart was hard, and God saved me and called me to preach. And I realized, boy, oh, if I'm ever going to any way be used of God, God's going to have to do something in my heart. I worked at a Gulf service station in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 31st and Sheridan. I surrendered to preach at 22 years old. And every day, if I get a break, I'd go back down to the rack room and get on my knees, and I'd say, God, fill me with love. And while I'm washing a car, I'd say, God, fill me with love. And while I'm pumping gas, I'd say, God, fill me with love. And I started praying because I knew that if God was going to use me, he's going to have to do something about my love. You've left your first love. You probably heard this. I heard about a husband and wife that they's fussing. Been married for a few years. Fussing, and they decided to go to a marriage counselor. And they went to a marriage counselor, and the marriage counselor looked at the husband and said, okay, what's wrong? He said, nothing. So he looked at the wife, and he said to her, go tell me, what's wrong? And boy, she started in. And she went on and on and on and on. And finally, the counselor got up, walked around the desk, and walked over and kissed her. Then he looked at the husband, and he said to the husband, he said, now that's what she needs 3 times a week. And the husband said, 3 times. He said, well, I can bring her in on Monday and Wednesday, but Friday's my golfing date. I'm just trying to illustrate you lost your love. And he said here, you've left your first love. Wait a minute. When somebody, most of the time when somebody gets saved, what do they fall in love with? Huh? They fall in love with God. They fall in love with the Bible. They fall in love with a church. I mean, they come early and stay late. They fall in love with God. They fall in love with the Bible. They fall in love with church. They fall in love with preaching. I mean, boy, they cannot wait to get to church. They cannot wait to hear the preaching. And they love God. They love the Word of God. They love church. They love preaching. They love that singing. They love the fellowship. First, they fall in love when they first get saved. The danger of losing your first love. All of a sudden, don't love God like you used to. You don't love the Word of God like you did. You don't love church. You don't love preaching and singing and fellowship like it used to. You've left your first love. The danger of losing your love, your strength, your zeal. The danger of losing your convictions and losing your burden and losing your desire. There's a danger. You lose that, you're on your way down and out. The danger of losing. You see, when you lose, you'll leave. When you lose, you'll leave the church. When you lose your first love, then you'll leave your service for God. You'll leave the will of God. When you lose, then you'll leave. Number 5, the danger of not doing what brought us. Look at verse number 5. The danger of not doing what brought us, verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen and repent, and here it is, and do the what? First works. That's what he said, that's what brought you. First works. He said here, you better realize where you used to be and where you have fallen from, and God said, you better do the first works, what brought you? The first works. The danger of not doing what brought us. To find out what brought us, we'd have to go to the book of Acts. You can find out in the book of Acts what brought us. You can find out in the book of Acts what brought us to where we're at today. You study the book of Acts and you'll talk about they witnessed daily in the temple and from house to house and their prayers and their sacrifice and their giving. Those were the things that brought them. Those are the things that brings us. Dr. Howells used to use that old worldly statement, let's dance with the one that brought us. The danger of not doing what brought us. We do this, don't we, preacher? We read, we study the Word of God, and we go to conferences like this, and we find out how to do it, and we start doing it, and it brings us, and God shows up, and then all of a sudden, after a while, we stop doing what brought us. And when we stop doing what brought us, we're gone. Just a matter of time. The furnace may still be blowing, but there's no heat. The danger of not doing what brought us. The danger in verse number 7 of not hearing. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Dr. Gomez said this yesterday. He said, we've got preaching, but we haven't got the hearing. You hear what he said? He said, we've got good preaching all over America. We've got some good preachers, but he said, the problem is we're not listening. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The danger of not hearing. Hey, whoa, that's a danger for, I'm glad these schools are here, but it's a danger. It's a danger. You're in church all the time, in school during the week, and then the weekend, and the danger is of you sitting in the house of God, growing up in the house of God, and not hearing, not listening, tuning out. The danger of not hearing. Hebrews said we ought to give the more earnest heed. Not hearing what the Bible says, not hearing what the Holy Spirit says. What if I had not listened when God spoke to me about salvation? What if I hadn't listened when that still, small voice spoke to me from the Word of God? And what if I hadn't listened when it came to salvation? I tell you what, I'd either be in the penitentiary or in hell already. If I had not listened, the danger of not listening. What if I hadn't listened when God called me to preach? I mean, God for a year dealt with me in His long suffering and called me. And what if I had not listened when God called me to preach? 30 years ago, God called me to Bella Vista Baptist Church. What if I had not listened and missed the will of God for the last 30 years? The danger, you agree, of not listening. Verse number 7, the danger of not overcoming. Verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The danger of not overcoming. Dr. Cox preached a while ago about how Satan hinders us. And Satan hinders us, and that brings us to the place where we're not overcomers. It's hard for the devil to overcome an overcomer. But how many churches, preachers, Christians around the country are overcomers? And most of them are a doormat for the devil. And what's the burden of our hearts as a pastor? It's our people who are overcome. And we're struggling. We pray for them. We try to help them. They're overcome. And we're trying to get them to be overcomers. The danger. Overcome. To overcome means to conquer. To overcome means to subdue. If we don't overcome, we'll be overcome. I don't want to go out being overcome. I know me, and I've watched through these decades others that great, much greater men and preachers than me, they've fallen. I don't want to do that. I want to overcome. I want to stay on top. I want to subdue. I want to conquer every day in my life. But there's a danger of not overcoming. And wait a minute, when we face these dangers and we don't handle them well, God said, I'm going to show up and remove your candlestick. I'm going to take you out of business. Do you believe that? He said, I'll show up and remove your light. You'll no longer be a lighthouse. You'll no longer keep individuals from being shipwrecked. You'll no longer keep homes from being shipwrecked. God said, I'll remove your candlestick. Now, when God says something like that, and God makes a promise like that, and God gives us a warning, we better pay attention. What would you think of me if I saw some dangers and I didn't warn you? What would my people think of me if I didn't stand up and just publicly say, there's a problem? I mean, what would my people think if, later on, well, did you know that? Yeah, I did. Well, why didn't you warn us? Did you know that, preacher? Yeah. Well, what about our young people? Preacher, if you knew that, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you stand up? Why didn't you warn us if you knew that danger? There's how many words in the Bible does God connect with dangers? Watch. Avoid. How many words? Beware. Give heed. Stand. Fight. Be vigilant. How many times does God try to warn us about some dangers? Dangers facing fundamental bad. I could go on and on as you could with these list of dangers. We better pay attention when God tries to warn us, as he did these churches. You stand with me, please. We're going to have a time of prayer and altar call through these 10 messages. God's been trying to warn us, show us, get us to watch, repent, make some changes, avoid, push the reset button. Our Father, I pray you'd help us today. We sure do need your help. Lord, I don't want you to remove my candlestick. I don't want you to have to show up and bring judgment in my life, my ministry, the church I pastor. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to walk circumspectly. I pray you'd help me to be diligent. I pray you'd help me to discipline myself, to die daily, and to avoid these dangers. Work in our midst, every preacher's life, every church, every school. God, help these dear kids to watch out for the dangers that they're facing every day and going to in life. Help them to be overcomers. Help us to be examples to them of overcomers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The pianist to play. We've got time to pray about dangers facing Fundamental Baptist. Perhaps you ought to pray for someone that's in danger. You see someone heading the wrong way. You see somebody walking a dangerous path. You ought to pray for them. Ask God to help you to help them.